Hello and welcome, folks. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and I'm sitting in today for Melody Seastrom. She's taking some time off to get some chores done, I do believe. I hope you don't mind me filling in for her. This is Financial Survival, and I'll do my best, do my very absolute tip-top best to do it right and to do a good job for Melody and maybe bless you all with some news and help you out on some things and make some decisions. That's what we're here for. And you need to call Melody from time to time and talk to her. Ask her questions. Maybe for some advice, financial advice. 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. Again, this is Pastor Butch sitting in for Melody today, so bear with us. I'll do the best I can. I certainly can't do what Melody does. I'm not an expert on finances. I'm just an old hillbilly preacher, but I do what I can. As y'all know, I like to start out on the, I always say the lighter side, if you don't mind. I'd like to share with you something my son sent me today. I thought it was kind of cute. And here's the story. The husband and wife were Christmas shopping at a busy shopping mall just before Christmas. The wife suddenly noticed that her husband was missing, and as they had a lot to do, she called him on his cell. The wife said, "Where are you? You know we have a lot to do." He said, "You remember the jewelers we went into about 10 years ago? You fell in love with that diamond necklace. I could not afford it at the time, and I said, one day I will get it for you." Little tears started to flow down her cheek, and she got all choked up. She said, "Yes, I do remember that shop." Well, he replied, "Well, I'm in the gun shop right next door to it." I wonder how his night went, but I thought that was pretty good. I can sympathize with the guy, and I especially sympathize with him after he got done talking to his wife. But anyway, but I'd share it with you, just a little bit of levity maybe to get the thing started off here, because there's a lot of news to cover. And a lot of us not the best in the world as far as financial news and situational news in the country. Folks, our God gave us a sense of humor for a purpose. He gave us a gift of laughter. And the people that know me very well at all know that I enjoy picking on people, laughing at people. With people that I feel comfortable with, I like to pick on them. That's just who I am. You know, life is going by quickly. I'm 71 years old and I'm not a kid by any means. And I want to enjoy every day of my life I can, especially when I'm with somebody I care for. And believe it or not, I do care for y'all. I know it sounds silly, I never met you in person. But a long time ago, when I was called to pastor a church, I said, "Father, if I'm going to be a pastor, give me a pastor's heart." So he did. He gave me a heart that I like to think is a Christ-like heart that cares for people. So I do care. I want to do what I can. I want to do what's best to make your day a little brighter, perhaps, and maybe a little, give a little more knowledge to make some wise decisions. But let's get back to what's happening in the metals market. Gold was down 44 cents today to $1,475.83. Now, folks, 6 months ago it was $1,200. Don't see it going back down that low again. Gold has went up $250 roughly, so that's not a bad gain. Silver was down a nickel to $17 even. Platinum down $3.01 to $9.2806. Palladium was down $36.43 to $19.5362. Metals took a little bit hit today, but that doesn't bother me at all, because I know that they will continue to go up, a gradual incline. It may go up to $1,600, drop back down to $1,500, but it will never go back down to what it was a few years ago. And even if it did, it's still worth something. If gold and silver drops to nothing, the dollar is going to be worth, oh, I cannot believe. If gold and silver drops lower, that means the dollar's worth nothing. The Dow today was up 61.3 at 28,296.92. The NASDAQ was up 902 at 88,23.25. The S&P was up 231 at 31,93.76. Oil was down 7 cents to 60.89. You know, so that's been a kind of a steady incline on oil lately. The price of gasoline, I'm sure it's going to reflect that real soon in most places. It always amazes me, though, that when oil rises today, gas prices do tomorrow. Before oil drops today, gas prices hang in there for about a month. Just a comment and an observation that I have from time to time when I watch these prices fluctuate. It's amazing to me how the correlation between going up and oil going up and gas price going up is so quick to come about, but just the opposite when the oil prices go down. it really is just the opposite. Now I'm going to start on something here that's not necessarily financial news, but it's certainly one of the main reasons we're in this mess in this country today in so many different directions. I mean, so many different directions. It's unbelievable how this country has fallen so far from what was once considered normal and right to what it is today. This is part of an article entitled Destruction of the Family. The United States has the highest rate of children living with a single parent in the entire world. Folks, I know I'm older than most of you, but I remember when America was somewhat of an envy of the other nations. Back in the 50s and early 60s, we had morality. It was uncommon for a young girl to get married, to get pregnant outside of wedlock. It was uncommon. Divorce was not accepted as being something everybody did every day, and it was just okay. And divorce, remarriage two or three or four times, was always shunned and was not allowed. As a matter of fact, some of the Christian denominations, like the one I belong to, still believe in, didn't allow a double married man to be a pastor or a preacher. Just the way it is. That's Bible. But this article says the family unit is one of the fundamental pillars of any society. And so the weaker our family units become, the weaker our entire nation is going to become. For decades, the traditional family unit has been under assault in America. And the consequences have been absolutely catastrophic. Folks, you can see that. I mean, you can see that. Today, the marriage rate has dropped to levels that we have never seen before. We continue to have one of the highest divorce rates in the entire world. And more couples than ever are choosing not to get married at all. You know, I can remember when divorce was frowned upon in the church that they were rare. Now, the church, so-called church, the church, people go to the buildings they call churches, the divorce rate is high as those is in the world. And probably the shacking up part is too, is called fornication in the Bible. And for those that believe it's okay to do that, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, read the first sin that's listed to keep you out of the kingdom of God. Fornication. Read it. Let's move on. As a result, the number of single parents has been steadily rising. At this point, the United States actually has the highest rate of children living with a single parent of any country on the entire planet. How sad. The following comes from Pew Research. For decades, the share of U.S. children living with a single parent has been rising, accompanied by a decline in marriage rates and a rise in births outside of marriage. Oh my, folks, I can remember when a young unwed girl was pregnant. It was a shame. It wasn't somebody proud of that she had a baby. So well, like Mama and Papa would love the baby and treat it like they should anyway, but there was no pride in saying, well, look, I'm a Mama and Papa. My daughter just spent fornication. Look what she done. But that's no longer the case. There's no shame in anything anymore. And it tells us in Jeremiah that people no longer know how to blush. A new Pew Research Center study of 130 countries and territories showed that the United States has the world's highest rate of children living in single-parent households. Almost a quarter of all of U.S. children, now listen folks, almost a quarter of U.S. children under the age of 18 live with one parent and no other adults. More than 3 times the share of children around the world who do so. What a sad, sad statement to make. You know, it kind of makes the other situations pale, doesn't it? When the family's destroyed, there's nothing left to build on. The family is the pillar of society. The family is what builds a society. When the family crumbles, nothing lasts. A family builds a community. A family builds the churches. A family builds the counties and the states and the nation. When a family's going, there's nothing left. That's sad, but it's true. I'm going to read to you a statement made by a guy named Greenspan. You remember him? He was ahead of the Fed for a long time. He made a statement, I'm trying to find the date, I think back in the 60s. But in 1966, matter of fact. He said, talking about gold having both artistic and functional uses and being relatively scarce has always been considered a luxury good. It is durable, homogeneous, divisible, and therefore has significant advantages over all other media of exchange. Thus, a logical extension of the creation of medium of change is a development of a banking system and credit instruments, bank notes and deposits, which act as a substitute for, but are convertible into gold. Let me read to you again. Thus, a logical extension of the creation of a medium of exchange is the development of a banking system and credit instruments, bank notes, and deposits, which act as a substitute for, but are convertible into gold. Now, I know a lot of y'all don't remember. I don't remember gold backed money at all. Going along before I was born. I do remember though that a silver dollar was a real silver dollar. A lawful silver dollar, about 3.75 worth of gold in that dollar. I mean, there's the name said silver, and I do remember that's 3.75 grams of silver in that silver dollar. And I do remember that you could take your paper dollar to the bank and set on top of it silver note, silver certificate. You could get a dollar, silver dollar, with that dollar, and you take that same dollar bill and go to a we call them dairyettes, whatever you want to call them, where you come where you are. You go in and you can buy 12 hot dogs for a dollar because it's backed by a silver dollar. That's in my lifetime, folks. But the optimism, but the opposition to the gold standard is in any form from a growing number of welfare state advocates was prompted by a much subtler insight: the realization that the gold standard is incompatible with chronic deficit spending, the hallmark of a welfare state. Let me repeat that again. The gold standard is incompatible with chronic deficit spending, the hallmark of the welfare state. Let that sink in. In the absence of the gold standard, there is no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. There is no safe store of value. If there were, the government would have to make its holding illegal, and as was done in the case of gold. The financial policy of the welfare state requires that there be no way for the owners of wealth to protect themselves. Now, folks, this is what he said. This comes from Alan Greenspan, that one time was the head of the Fed. Now, he didn't bring that standard with him into the Fed to make it what it's supposed to be. The Federal Reserve was eliminated. This nation may go back to something of some common sense finances. But as long as a fiat currency is in control and a printing press is all it takes to make more of it, inflation is the rule. And welfare being a type of, parasite. Yeah, that's a good word. Welfareism is another word for a parasitical leech on a healthy body. And as long as the government can print dollars and give them to people that haven't earned them, and take from those that do to try to cover the debt, we'll never have a healthy economy. It'll keep getting worse and worse and worse. Now, a guy named Sir Josiah Stamp said this back in the 1920s. This is 1920s, folks. The modern banking system manufactures money out of nothing. The process is perhaps the most outstanding piece of sleight of hand that was ever invented. Banking was conceived in iniquity and born in sin. Even Christ said that, didn't he, when he took a whip to them. Bankers own the earth. Take it away from them, but leave them the power to create money, and with a flick of a pen, they will create enough money to buy it back again. Take this great power away from them, and all great fortunes that, like mine, will disappear. For then this would be a better and happier world to live in. But if you want to continue to be the slaves of bankers and pay the cost of your own slavery, then let bankers continue to create money and control credit. You see, Josiah Stamp was a wealthy man. He said, you take that power away to create money, and my fortune will disappear. But if you want to continue to be slaves of the bankers and pay the cost for your own slavery, then let the bankers continue to control money, create money, and control credit. Isn't that amazing? The wealthy people, Josiah Stamp, a wealthy, very wealthy man back in the 1920s, laid on the line, said, hey, if you people want to serve me, that's fine. If you want to be free, you're going to have to destroy this power that you give these elite to print paper, worthless paper, and call it money. But in America, instead of doing that, in the 1930s, we brought in the Fed. to do these for us. You know, I don't know what else to say. I mean, when we have the people who control the money system, are wealthy because of it, that warn us that the reason they're wealthy is because they can rip us off, we can't do a thing about it, and the people of America still to go ho-hum and don't worry about it. Now you understand why we're where we are, don't you? This isn't rocket science, folks. This is common sense. Fiat currency is fiat currency, no matter what color it is. And if you can call it a greenback, you can call it a yuan, you can call it a peso, call it whatever you want to. Fiat currency is fiat currency. You can color it up, make it pretty, but it's still just a worthless piece of paper when it comes down to being actually worth something as a medium exchange. And when the people that do it, that create it, tell us it's just an instrument of slavery, but we ignore it, it's to our own peril, isn't it? Now we're going to move on to something I think that we might want to consider a little bit about. I'm going to take a little time with this few articles because we're going to see now, again, a sign of decay in America. Again, a nation that was once an enemy of the world, where people come to see how the people lived in peace and prospered. And when what we used to call banana republics and third world nations, where poverty and sickness and disease was everywhere, America was a shining example of what a country could be. That is quickly changing, folks, quickly changing. We'll cover in a minute how the Supreme Court put another nail in the coffin of this country, just in a minute. But here's an article that says, inside the tent city that shames California, where a tiny strip of land provides squalid shelter for 3,000 homeless people. Now, folks, this is tough. I can't imagine being homeless in my whole life. Mom and Dad struggled a lot, but was never homeless. Always had a place to sleep and something to eat. I can't imagine being homeless, and I certainly feel sorry for homeless people. But unfortunately, a nation that forgets God, forgets his curse upon unjust weights and measures, a money system, will see more and more of this. Christ himself said, the poor you'll have with you always. It gets worse when a nation turns a back on God. Homelessness is a crisis in America, including a tent city in California where hundreds of people live among rats and rubbish in a mile-long encampment. One resident, Kat McKay, says she's fed up with the stink of decaying food and outbreaks of syphilis and vomiting infections in the Santa Rosa hellhole. The large homeless encampment is along a trail in Santa Rosa, part of the park in California. Oh, thanks, Tom, already. Don't worry, folks. A lot more to talk about. And if you'd like to call and talk to us, you can. We'd love to take a phone call. But remember, this is recorded today at 4 o'clock. It will not be live at 8 o'clock tonight. If you called, don't call tonight because I won't be there. I'm going to live right now at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern. 844-769-2944.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Alrighty, folks, we are back, and I really sincerely don't like sharing articles like this. I really don't. It breaks my heart, but hiding from it doesn't change it. You know, denying that we had the problem doesn't change it. I read to you the problem was the destruction of America's home, and what destroyed America's homes is the morality was destroyed when God's laws were taken out of the schools, when God's Ten Commandments were taken down, and God was no longer even allowed to be in the schools. Morality died with it. And folks, it didn't take a long time for morality to die, did it? It started back in the 60s when it took prayer out of school. 60 years, it all fell to hell in this country. Think about it. 63, I believe it was, prayer out of school. 73, started murdering babies. 90s, started recognizing homosexuals. 2000, they get married. Pedophilia is now becoming legal. Teaching children how to have anal sex at 8 years old in Austin, Texas is now legal. Teaching children in California that pedophilia is normal is now legal. No, it doesn't take long. Once the cancer gets into you and gets into stage 3 and 4, you're pretty near dead, aren't you? But anyway, back to the article. But angry residents are demanding that this group be kicked out of the area, saying they're renting it for others. Cop says that they can't do anything about homeless people living along the pedestrian bike trail. However, emergency measures have been revealed to house Sonoma County's 3,000 homeless people. There's been a growing call across the U.S. to help such stricken people to get into housing, rather than risking their lives camping in the streets and other public places. California has the country's largest homeless population and is continuing to expand, according to the Los Angeles Times. Latest stats show that there were about 130,000 people in the streets on any given night statewide in 2018. The paper adds that as of August 2019, there were nearly 59,000 homeless people in Los Angeles County in 2019, and a further 9,784 in San Francisco, 30% more than 2 years ago. California has been trying to deal with the homelessness for quite a while, said the homeless service provider in L.A., in San Francisco. President Donald Trump described California's situation very disgraceful, saying that homelessness was being looked at very seriously by the White House. The mile-long line of tents is the biggest homeless camp in Sonoma County, with hundreds of people living there. Those at the encampment are keen to be given somewhere safe to live, with cops dealing with hundreds of call-outs to the nature site. Residents have slammed the homeless encampments along Santa Rosa's Joe Rotella Trail as a safety hazard. In Sonoma County, a mile-long homeless encampment along Santa Rosa's Joe Rotella Trail is a source of anger for the local community. With people setting up tents along the bike and pedestrian path, residents believe homeless people have taken over the area. Angry locals have for months been targeting officials, demanding to have them removed from the beauty spot. Lisa Landris, a member of Citizens for Action Now, told CBS in San Francisco, "When I see what this has done to the use of enjoyment of this area, I think how far it goes. Everyone else have been pushed with the leniency to involve with treating this group." Group founder Greg Murphy says he was shocked to see a YouTube video of a man ejecting himself in front of people cycling past. Now, folks, we'll go. This is unbelievable, but this is America today. Don't get mad at me. I'm just bringing news to you. And I'm going to get to in a minute what the Supreme Court said and what it essentially means. You know, I have a question. You know, they're suggesting, we'll cover it more in a minute, that they get housing for these people. And I have no problem with that. My question is, how are they going to pay for it? Who's going to build it? Who's going to fund it? Especially in California, the state's broke already. People leaving. 700,000 left California last year. 700,000 people left California. How are they going to fund it? I'm just asking a very serious question here. San Francisco man defecates in grocery store aisle. It's no secret that San Francisco has literally become a crappy city to live in, with sidewalks littered with human feces left behind by the homeless, drug-addicted vagrants who call the sidewalks home. City officials have spent millions to address the homelessness problem, including the addition of 25 public restrooms at a cost of $200,000. But it seems the poop problem is only getting worse. Wow, that's unbelievable. It says, here's a pic of a man taking a poo in aisle 10 at a Safeway Marina Sunday in San Francisco. Now, folks, I'm just going to share this with you. I got a call I'm going to take in a second. I promise I'll get to your calls. Because this is unbelievable. I'm bringing this, and it breaks my heart to see it, but it doesn't change the facts, does it? Let me finish this one article, please. Just curious, are the bathrooms locked for non-customer use? Randy Trubert posted in response to the image. Bathrooms are open, Ken wrote. The guy is high as a kite. Several others who come in and notice that while the man didn't bother to take his business in the bathroom, he didn't manage to find toilet paper. Had plenty of time to find the toilet paper aisle, but not the actual bathroom. What is the most telling here is that this guy had the wherewithal to find the toilet paper aisle, but pull out a roll and then yank down his pants, the Golden Rule added. So no excuses arguing this guy wasn't capable of making choices before defecating. He made quite a few choices to get to the point. And yet San Francisco continues to reject politicians that would fight to stop this in favor of politicians who do absolutely nothing. You get what you elect. In November, San Francisco voters elected radical liberal Chelsea Bowden as the city's newest district attorney based on his promises not to prosecute the so-called quality of life crimes like public urination, defecation, and camping on the sidewalk. We will not prosecute cases involving quality of life crimes, he said. Crimes such as public camping, offering or soliciting sex, public urination, blocking a sidewalk, etc., should not and will not be prosecuted. Many of these crimes are still being prosecuted. We have a long way to go to decriminalize poverty and homelessness. Baldwin was raised by criminals involved in the Weather Underground, a communist revolutionary group best known for domestic terrorism in the 1970s, including the bombings of the Pentagon and police memorials, as well as arson attacks. Baldwin's parents, Kathy Baldwin and David Gilbert, were sentenced to lengthy prison sentences for their roles in the robbery of an armed vehicle that left three police officers dead in 1981. Chelsea Baldwin was raised in Chicago by adoptive parents Bill Ayers and Bernadine Doran, both founders of the Weather Underground, who have gone on to become influential in liberal politics. Chelsea Baldwin previously worked in San Francisco's Public Defender's Office after graduating from Yale Law School in 2011. Before that, Baldwin worked as a translator for Hugo Chavez during his tenure as a socialist president of Venezuela. Folks, this is what's happening in this country. And we're going to get to the Supreme Court ruling in a second. But first, let's go to the phone lines. I told them I would. And don't forget, folks, if you call in, this is live now at 4:30 almost Eastern time. But tonight, this will be recorded at 8 o'clock p.m. Don't call at 8 o'clock tonight, because this will not be a live show. No one's going to answer the phone. Let's go first to... let's see, Don in Louisiana. Don, welcome. Come on in.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
God bless you.
Thank you.
I have to make a comment, and I know I should probably keep my mouth shut because I'm learning every day. But I trust in the Lord, and I try to follow what He would have me do. All this talk of abortion makes me nauseous. Every child has a right to live, whether it was born out of wedlock or in poverty or wherever it was born. I don't care if it was born in a barn with Jesus.
Amen.
It has a right to life.
Yes, it does.
And all these clinics and Planned Parenthood and all that crap, excuse me, I don't want to hear any more about it. I don't want to have anything to do with clinics and doctors and all that crap, because it has nothing to do with keeping our children safe and away from people that are trying to exploit them.
I agree. I totally agree. It's going to be a situation now with just the opposite. Planned Parenthood, from the beginning, it was just what it is, a murder capital, if you want to call it that, a place to go to get a plan to kill your child. I know they said they started out for women's health. That's a lie. And it may have used that as a cover, but that is not what it was.
No, I found that out, and I it scared me to death.
I understand that. I do.
I do understand it. It's wrong.
Yes, it is. It's murder.
It's murder. It's wrong.
Yes, it is. Right on the money. Good call, Don. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Talk to you soon. Good call. All right. Let's go now to Neil in New York. Neil, come on in.
Hey, Pastor Butch. Good to talk to you again. I've talked to you a few other times.
Yeah. Good to have you back.
First thing I do is wish you and Melody a Merry Christmas, not a pagan Happy Holiday.
Okay.
And you were mentioning about, you know, how this country is going to hell in a handbasket. And, you know, it really isn't going to be political change. It's got to be spiritual change the way I look
Amen.
At it.
Amen. Amen.
People have got to go back to churches, synagogues, worship, et cetera. This is the only way it's going to change, not through political.
Well, Neil, our Savior taught very clearly, without repentance, there's no forgiveness. Without repentance, this nation cannot
true.
Be fixed. And it isn't happening. The people are not repenting. They're waiting for the Super Bowl. They're waiting for Christmas. They're waiting for New Year's. They're not repenting.
I know. The second thing, you mentioned up all these illegitimate births out of wedlock children. I've read a book. It's a fascinating book. This was written in 1911 by Avery and Golding. And what it is, socialism. This is the title, Socialism, the Nation of Fatherless Children. This is amazing. And, you know, we've heard the word free love used a lot in the 60s. This
Oh, yes.
book has a whole chapter titled Free Love in it, and it talks about this very thing. And what's amazing is, of course, it's a book against communism, because communism despises the family. They consider the family to be a tool of capitalism. So socialism, communism, is trying to destroy the family, which to me is amazing. And nobody's aware of this.
Well, you know, and what's really sad is there was a time in this country, at least back in the early 1700s, 1800s, when their preachers told people that the family is the basis of all things, a foundation, and fought against this evil, and they knew what this nation was founded upon at one time. But the church in America today, Neil, are either ignorant or stupid. Ignorance means they don't know, which is just about as bad as being stupid. And stupid means they know and don't care. Either way, we're destroyed.
That's true. I agree with you. Anyway, what's amazing about this book is, well, first of all, I live in upstate New York, and not very far from it, we have a place called Oneida, New York. And Oneida, New York was the place of a commune, a socialist commune, believe it or not, by a former minister who was defrocked. And the whole concept was, once you have your children, you try to remove them from the father and the mother so they become part of the collective. I don't think so many people realize what, you know, communism, collectivism is. It is to destroy the family so that the person feels like they're connected to the whole amorphous blob and not just the mother and father. This is kind of scary.
It is. It is. It truly is.
And the other thing I thought was fascinating in this book, have you ever heard of what happened to Eleanor Marx, Karl Marx's daughter?
No.
She was, of course, a card-carrying Marxist, because her father was. And she started going with this fellow by the name of Abeling, who was married, but since his wife was decrepit, and she being a socialist, thought it was perfectly okay for him and her to become a sort of man of wife. Well, this went on for a while, and after a while, he got tired of her and got another woman instead. And again, they're both socialists, and ultimately, what happened is Eleanor Marx, the daughter of Karl Marx, committed suicide. Only underscoring the real importance of what family is and traditional values and Christianity.
Amen.
I think it says it all, and most people don't even know this.
No, they don't. The sad part.
Listeners out there, if you're looking for the book, it's called Socialism, the Nation of Fatherless Children. It was written in 1911, this edition, by David Goldstein and Martha Avery. A fascinating book, and basically it predicted what we have right now. It's amazing.
Okay, well, thanks for the call, Neil. Appreciate it. Thank you so much for being out there.
Okay, and again, have a Merry Christmas.
You too, friend. Appreciate you. All right, folks, I mean, that's two great phone calls. The line's open if you want to talk to us at 844-769-2944. Now, I realize Melly doesn't always do this, but I like to take phone calls. Hope she doesn't mind. She does, she can fuss at me later, I reckon. But but anyway, back to the article. Now, we know that the Supreme Court leaves the cities with an option on homelessness. More housing. Now, this would be great if it could be done. For Los Angeles and dozens of other cities across the West, all struggling to deal with a growing number of people living on the streets, Monday made clear that the only solutions to homelessness are more housing and more services. The U.S. Supreme Court decided against hearing an appeal of the landmark case City of Boise versus Martin, leading standing ruling that amounts to a broad curb on police powers in California and eight other states to stop people from sleeping on public property if no other shelter is available. In doing so, the justices took yet another tool out of the municipal toolkit for preventing people from building sprawling encampments and increasingly clogged their sidewalks and streets. Local governments had hoped the highest court in the land would clarify how to comply with the Boise ruling or carve out more authority for police to clear encampments. Instead, homeless advocates celebrated the justice decision as a death knell for the local anti-camping law. I think a lot of the jurisdictions were hoping that the Supreme Court would enable a much greater level of enforcement activity around the unsheltered homeless, and that won't be the case, said Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg, who along with L.A. County Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas is co-chair of the Governor's Task Force on Homelessness. The result, some officials and homeless advocates say, is likely to be an upswing of newfound political will to build more permanent supportive housing and temporary shelters to get people off the streets. In the past, such efforts have been slow throughout much of California and often have been met with resistance from local governments, officials, and neighborhood groups. But now, for now, it is the only way. And again, folks, sounds wonderful. I'd love to see them in a shelter. But how are they going to pay for it? And how well have welfare shelters done in the past? Were they not destroyed by people that didn't have to pay for them and didn't care? Not all of them. But the biggest fighting people that live in welfare housing couldn't care less about how to take care of that place because it's not theirs. They're not paying for it. They're not paying for the upkeep. Why should they care? They're just going to sink more money into things that aren't going to last. It's just that simple. Back at the break. 844-769-2944. We're live right now at 2:40 Eastern Time, so call if you like.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today.
day, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
All right, you folks, we're back. And again, this is Pastor Butch Paul. Melody took some time off today to get some chores done. And then I'm honored for two reasons. That she trusts me to do her program. That is an honor. It really is. Melody is a good woman. Completely honest in her business dealings and just a sweetheart. And she trusts me to do this. That's an honor. It's also an honor to speak to you folks. Again, I say, if you knew me, could see me, I'm just an average guy, and I'm certainly not the, but not, I got a perfect face for radio, put it that way. I live out here in down in the woods and down a holler in West Virginia. Been out here all my life, except I was in the military, and try to preach a little bit and teach a little bit and do what I can to glorify our Father in heaven, but also to educate people and give them hope. If in this world there's not much hope, the hope's got to be in the God that created all this and nobody else. But it's an honor. You call Melody up there and talk to her at 800-375-4188. Ask her how you can prepare for the future. Talk to her and ask her that. It's worth a shot. I don't care if you don't have money or not. The number is free. It's toll free. Call her and talk to her. Ask her what you can do if you only have $50. Ask her. I know I did a long time ago with Praise God. And I listened to some wise counsel. If I hadn't, I'd been hurt right now. I truly would have. Only by the grace of God and the common sense that gave me to listen to wise people, am I not in a lot worse shape than I am right now? Only by His grace and by the wisdom of others that I trusted. Again, if you want to call and talk to us, you can, 844-769-2944. Now, I just read to you about Supreme Court saying you got to build houses for the people. And folks, let's face it. HUD and other things have not done the best. Has not done like they thought they could. Most of these public houses have become centers of crime and drugs and lawlessness and shootings. I don't like to say that, but it's true. Someone who doesn't build anything, has nothing invested in what's going on, doesn't care if it tears it up or not. Very few people. Now, some people are just the opposite. They'll be thankful to have it and try to treat it right. But not many of them, unfortunately. The public housing developments have become centers of disease and crime. It's just that easy. I'm going to read to you something here that fits this scenario, though, of taxing the people to pay for those who can't. No, I shouldn't say can't. Those that want to, that's one thing. Those that won't, something else. But Frederick Bastier wrote a book called The Law. Listen to what it says. Man can live and satisfy his wants only by ceaseless labor, by the ceaseless application of his faculties to natural resources. This process is the origin of property. But it is also true that a man may live and satisfy his wants by seizing and consuming the products of the labor of others. This process is the origin of plunder. It is impossible to introduce into society a greater change and a greater evil than this. The conversion of law into an instrument of plunder. Read it to you again. It is impossible to introduce into a society a greater change and a greater evil than this. The conversion of law into an instrument of plunder. And that's what it is when you take from someone who's earned it to feed to somebody that hasn't earned it and doesn't want to try to earn it. That's what plunder is. That's what welfare is, and that's why this nation is a mess. It's just that simple. I'm not here to try to make anybody mad. I'm here to tell the truth, and I'll not back up from that. Surely, anyone with any common sense at all can see the fact that I'm telling the truth here. We become a nation of not all, but several millions of people who don't want to work, who don't have to work. Move on to a different topic. Impeachment hurts, but Teflon Trump thrives. Impeachment is about the worst thing that can happen to a president unless the president is Donald Trump. There's no question that having that historic asterisk as only the third U.S. president ever to be impeached will hurt him personally. More than any other occupant of the White House, the real estate developer and reality TV performer obsesses over his image. Trump's name and patina of glitzy success is literally a brand he sells for millions of dollars around the world. But it's equally true that the Republican adores a good fight. An impeachment is the Olympics of Washington's brawling. This moment is perfect for a person like him, said Rich Hanley, a professor of communications at Quinnipiac University. The Democrats in the House of Representatives are expected to vote to impeach Trump, probably on Wednesday. Then, as the president knows all too well, his Republican Party, which controls the Senate, will vote to acquit. The outcome is likely to be preordained as one of those absurd WWE wrestling bouts that Trump has always loved, which makes a perfect setup for the showman in chief. First, he gets to demonize opponents, throwing around words like treason, crook, crazy, and sick. Then he declares victory and turns the entire thing into a campaign ad for his 2020 reelection. And that's true. That's exactly what's going to happen. USA Today poll says, impeached or not, Trump leads his Democratic rivals for another term. President Donald Trump, the first modern president to face impeachment during his first term in the White House, now leads his top Democratic rivals in a bid for a second term in USA Today. USA Today report says the national survey taken as a House of Representatives planned an impeachment vote and the Senate trial showed Trump defeating former Vice President Joe Biden by 3 percentage points, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders by 5 points, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren by 8 points. And in a hypothetical head-to-head contest, Trump also led South Bend, Indiana's Mayor Pete Buttigieg by 10 points and former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg by 9 points. And folks, I don't know how to say this, but with this line of people we call Democrats running for office, one an out-and-out homosexual sodomite, Buttigieg, and he's actually gaining points, it's a sad thing to say that the man's going to get any votes at all. But with that field running against Trump, I believe I have a dog named Buddy to win the election. If that's the best we had to offer on any side of the line, if that's the best we had to offer the nation, folks, we are in one hell of a mess here. If that's the best we had to offer to try to turn this country around, then we just will start digging the ditch or digging the grave because America's finished. I don't care how much you like it or don't like it. I really don't care what you think about it. It doesn't make a difference to me, but if that's the best we had to offer, if this is the best lineup we get for presidents on either side of the line, we are in a world of hurt. The economy, folks, is going to go down like a rock in a body of water. When it does, it's going to hurt a lot of people because they didn't listen to the truth. They didn't prepare, and it's going to hurt. Alan Greenspan says inflation is inevitably going to rise as deficit balloons over $1 trillion. Federal Chair Alan Greenspan issued his latest warning Tuesday about the fiscal situation in the U.S., saying that that larger budget deficits ultimately will cause inflation. The spending shortfall has surged under President Donald Trump, rising to just shy of $1 trillion in fiscal 2019. Greenspan told the CNBC that inflation is inevitably going to rise and pose larger threats to the economy. No doubt. No duh. Yeah. Of course it is. Of course it is. Anytime you spend debt, anytime you print fiat monies, anytime you put digits on computers with nothing to back them, you're going to cause inflation. And people say, well, inflation's been awful low. I don't know where you live, but inflation in this area has not been real low. I hate going to the grocery store. I watch what my wife pays for groceries. It's a good thing I'm not shopping because we wouldn't have nothing in the house but beans and taters. I simply get angry when I see the prices on the food that we want to buy some things that we do like once in a while. It's ridiculous. Don't tell me inflation is not real. A market that needs $1 trillion in panic money printing to stave off implosion is not a karmic overdue implosion. It's not a market. So a market that needs $1 trillion of panic money is right now a market, folks. And the legitimate market, according to the article, enables price discovery. What is price discovery? The decisions and actions of buyers and sellers set the price of everything, assets, goods, services, risk, and the price of borrowing money, i.e. interest rates and the availability of credit. The U.S. has not had legitimate markets in 12 years. Wow, that's good. That's powerful writing. What we call the market is a crude simulation that obscures the Federal Reserve's socialism for the super wealthy. The vast majority of the income-producing assets are owned by super wealthy, and so all the Fed money printing that's been needed to inflate and asset bubbles to new extremes only serves to further enrich the already super wealthy. The apologists claim the bubbles must be inflated to help the average American, but that claim is absolutely absurdly specious. The majority of Americans own near zero assets that earn income. At best, they own rapidly depreciating vehicles, a home that doesn't generate any income, and a life insurance policy that pays off only when they pass away. Very powerful article. And right on the money. Right on the money. Good job. Failing U.S. pensions system may need federal bailout to survive. Now, folks, this is amazing. Federal bailout to pay the pensions of the people in this country, in the states. The pension system in the United States isn't healthy by any stretch of the imagination. It has been underfunded for quite some time. The newest pension system report card was released in June this year. It reveals that the latest official data as of 2017 and shows that things aren't much better since the previous version we reported back in January. When comparing the funding rate ratios of top three state pension programs to the bottom three, things are even more disturbing. According to the latest report, the top three programs, South Dakota, Tennessee, and Wisconsin, remain virtually unchanged since 2013, hovering around 100%. But the bottom three, Illinois, Kentucky, and New Jersey, are even more underfunded, dropping from 50% to 30% in 2017. Folks, listen to that. It's amazing. And you know, I'm amazed, and I'm saying this straight up. Last year, they had a teacher strike in West Virginia, demanded a pay raise, and they got it. Same thing in Kentucky. That's why Bashir lost the election. Not Bashir, but Bevin lost the election in Kentucky because he didn't back the teacher strong enough. Folks, if public workers can strike and demand more money out of the public coffers, eventually it's going to come to an end, is it not? It has to. It says that 9% of the 20 states were less than two-thirds funded in this country in 2017. But if that weren't bad enough, talk of a taxpayer-funded federal bailout is beginning to surface as a potential way out of the mess. Again, we're going to build housing for the homeless, we're going to feed the hungry, and we're going to pay the pensions of school teachers and other public workers. That is a neat trick, is it not, when you have trouble paying your own bills? That's a neat trick to keep pulling more money out of an empty vat. They do it easily because they just print more money, put it in circulation, and tax it. It makes it worth less and less for those that are struggling to make it already. Those taxes eat up, that's called inflation. It causes their wages to go up, but it also causes that their taxes go up to eat away the increase of what they gained, which is literally nothing. And we're seeing this happen. States are struggling, cities are struggling, and they want to bail it out with federal money. Folks, federal money just happens to be our money. I mean, this is really a serious situation. America's pyramid scheme with fiat monies and public doles for retirements that are absolutely absurd. The pyramid scheme is going to collapse. It already is. It always does. It always has. Eventually, the bottom falls out, and there's nothing left but rot and decay of society. If the bottom falls out, the dollar drops to nothing. And if hyperinflation would set in, that's the worst scenario that you can imagine. People will be going to war for a loaf of bread. when $100 won't even buy a loaf of bread one day. People are going to be very upset. This could cause problems, folks, I've never seen. We're seeing right now that Virginia, the state of Virginia, just a little over an hour away from where I am right now, could be on the verge of a civil war over guns. If the economy goes too, you figure it out. What's going to keep the whole thing from falling into a complete abyss? Really? And, you know, in the UK, you know, Johnson, Boris Johnson won a landslide election. And maybe he's for the people. I hope he is. If they want out of Brexit, if they want Brexit, go for it. They want out of the European Union, they voted to get out. They should be a sovereign country. Do what you want. But he did say he's not going to attend the Davos meeting in Switzerland. He said he didn't want to drink champagne with billionaires. He wants to work for the common person, common man. I hope that's true. I do. Would I like to see them get out of the Brexit or get out of the European Union? Yeah, I really would. I would. I think all nations deserve sovereignty. I don't know how you feel about that, but I think it'd be a great idea to take back the country that once belonged to the people. Bring it back down where it's controlled by the local administrations. Just my idea. Folks, I've got to go now. Call Melody at 800-375-4188. Good talking to you. I'll see you Thursday back here, Thursday at 4 o'clock. Melody, she'll see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock herself. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.